AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. More storms are coming to parts of California after New Year's Eve rain caused intense flooding that left at least two dead. CBS's Nichelle Medina reports.
In San Francisco, the powerful atmospheric river storm on New Year's Eve flooded streets and caused muddy landslides. The storm also brought more than 8 feet of snow to the Sierra Nevadas, which shut down roads and even closed many ski resorts. As the system heads east through the Rockies, avalanche warnings are in effect.
National Weather Service meteorologist William Churchill has more on the forecast.
Probably a band that sees a lot of snow. We're talking a foot plus easily in a localized region from portions of Nebraska and South Dakota into southern Minneapolis.
Police are investigating if a machete attack against NYPD officers is terrorism. WBZ-TV's Louisa Mueller.
19-year-old Trevor Bickford was formally charged with two counts of attempted murder. Sources tell CBS News he left his home in Maine, traveled to New York, and spent the night in a homeless shelter in downtown Manhattan before the alleged attack. A notebook found in Bickford's backpack contained writings that talked about travel overseas and a desire to fight with Islamic extremists.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is vying for the House Speaker role when Republicans take control tomorrow, CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
He held a conference call with House Republicans Sunday, agreeing to changes in order to win enough support for the speakership. Those demands included the ability of any five members of the majority party to initiate a vote to remove the speaker. He would also establish select committees to investigate President Biden's COVID and border policies.
Dozens of Russian troops were killed in a Ukrainian missile strike over the weekend. CBS reporter Maria Lushina is in Latvia.
Ukraine took responsibility for a strike after dozens of Russian soldiers died in a place called Makiivka in the Donetsk region. Earlier on Monday, Russian Defense Ministry said the missile struck a building that housed a lot of Russian soldiers, and at least 63 troops have died.
About 65,000 people attended the first of 3 days of public viewing for Pope Emeritus Benedict. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Some of the faithful held up their phones as they filed past the mortal remains of this, the first pope to resign in six centuries. Pope Emeritus Benedict, clad in red papal mourning robes, hands clasped, lying in state in St. Peter's Basilica until Thursday's funeral.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The new year officially begins for the Wisconsin legislature tomorrow. Inauguration Day is largely for ceremony. However, the governor will deliver his State of the State speech on the 24th and his budget address on February 15th. The governor and lawmakers will decide what to do with the projected budget surplus of about $6.6 billion. Hundreds of high schoolers from Wisconsin march in the Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California today. 400 students from 8 Central Wisconsin high schools make up the Northwoods Marching Band. They've been practicing over the last year. In sports, the Green Bay Packers beat the Minnesota Vikings last night 41-17. Green Bay makes the playoffs if they beat Detroit next week. Also last night, the Wizards beat the Bucks. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Again, this is Native Roots Radio all over the Civic Media Network here, and we talk about Native issues, and we talk in the first part of the show. Oh, our dog's talking here. The first part of the show, sacred dog, that little Gracie. We talk about Native news and events, and why don't we get it over here to Ogama, who talks about Native news and events that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome. Oh,
hey, Buju relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota and coming at you from central Minnesota, Mokoche, here in the frigid North Country. And I just wanted to touch base a little bit on what's happening now that we're on the other side, it seems, of these crazy blizzard conditions that we had over the holidays, Robert. Forecasters said that this storm that we just went through, the winter storm, was nearly unprecedented in its scope. 60% of the U.S. population was under some sort of winter weather advisory or warning, which is about 200 million people. And, you know, tribes, again, as we talk about often, Robert, tribes were hit the hardest. Tribes in the Northwest, the Rocky Mountains, the Great Plains, and the Midwest battled really extreme weather conditions, including the Dakota 38 plus two riders that started in Lower Brule, South Dakota. They began on December 10th, and then they finished December 26th. And that storm came in last weekend, December 20th, but came in about the 20th and through the 25th, all the way through the Christmas holiday. And it was intense for those riders that were on that trip. But my understanding is that in some places it may have been easier to travel by horse. South Dakota, Kristi Noem, the governor, actually activated the state's National Guard to help the Rosebud Sioux tribe because they needed to get firewood because many members were stranded in their homes and there was no firewood. The Oglala Sioux tribe was using snowmobiles to reach citizens who were living in very rural areas areas. And then vehicles were breaking down in 10-foot snowdrifts, and officials considered using horses to deliver essentials to some of the homes and ended up seeking help from the federal government. Unfortunately, there was a 12-year-old boy in the Rosebud Sioux Nation who died after medical responders could not reach their home. And many people are, you know, run out of food and their houses were freezing up. Power outages left 1.4 million homes and businesses in the dark in the U.S. In Tennessee and Nashville, they were doing rolling blackouts to conserve power. And about 4,500 flights were down as well. And, you know, this type of extreme weather is becoming more common and will continue to become more common. And, you know, it's just awful, Robert, when we hear about how much our relatives have been affected by this, both in Minnesota, you know, and there's a whole article that I'm looking through on ICT and the Weather Channel and a couple of other sources right here. And you know what? Very few of them mention our unhoused relatives. And that, you know, breaks my heart as well, that, you know, they're mentioning that people couldn't get by planes, trains, or automobiles, but we have relatives who, you know, literally were outside with very little to no coverage for all of it. And I'm sure that of the death toll that we heard about in Western New York, that some of our unhoused relatives were probably part of that as well, that may or may not even be reported in the numbers. So as we're on the other end of this massive storm and we're starting to look at possibly another winter storm coming up this weekend on the horizon, I just want to remind everybody to be safe and to start making those kind of preparedness plans for next year, because this is going to continue. Right, Robert?
Yeah, I would say very eye-opening. Yeah, I mean, really. And now we're going to have really below weather now, meaning we're going to have hotter weather here in the Twin Cities here in Minnesota, and hotter than average. So that they predicted that, too. The weathermen are, the weather people are really predicting this weather really well. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, predicting it is not the same as being prepared for it, you know. So just, again, reminders to people to start putting those things together to, you know, if possible, to prepare to be ready for rolling blackouts and those types of things in this type of weather. So, Robert, I know there's an article that you sent me that I wanted to touch base on with Hennepin County now having a Dakota Land and Water Acknowledgement Statement, which is fantastic. So the Hennepin County Board acknowledges, obviously, the land and water that was taken from the Native Americans, Dakota people in that area. And the document is a three-year effort that was finally read in full and approved just in November during American Indian Month in the U.S. And, you know, it was a really collaborative effort with the area's Dakota people and the Hennepin County Board. And it just really seems like it was a great partnership. The land and water acknowledgments that I have read, this is probably one of the best one because it opens up, and I think this first sentence that it leads with is really great. It reads, as part of our commitment to address the unresolved legacy of genocide, dispossession, and settler colonialism, Hennepin County acknowledges that the magnificent land and vibrant waterways from which our institutions benefit are located upon the cultural, spiritual, and indigenous homeland of the Dakota Oyate, the Dakota Nation. And I just, unresolved, that the institutions benefit, indigenous homeland, settler colonialism. I mean, the key words of what looks like real healing are there. And I was really impressed with it. Robert, have you had a chance to read the whole statement? I think you were in person when it was read, weren't you?
Well, you know, I have ADHD, so I might not have remembered that. But what I do remember is my land acknowledgement, and they don't ask me anymore to do that because I just say, give our land back. That's my land acknowledgement,
right.
Give our land back. But no, I see what you're saying. And two, one of the things, too, I want to just throw out there real quick. I know we don't have a little bit time left in your segment, is that our white allies that listen to this show, which are many, and we really appreciate that, You guys, don't be coming and asking natives to come do a land acknowledgement. That's up to you to know and learn. And just throwing that out there. And what does that mean? You know what I'm saying, right, Ogama? It's like...
Yes. Do not force people of color to educate you. You need to do educating yourself first. And that is definitely something that is ongoing as well. Hey, before we run out of time, Robert, I just want to let people know, too, that the second annual Snow Snake Festival is going to be happening on Saturday, February 11th, 2023, on Madeline Island in Lake Superior at Joni's Beach. Wow. I'm heard that the big part of the Snow Snake Festival is making it on and off the island, so make sure you check in with your fellow snow snakers and people in the area if you're planning on making it out there, so that you can make it out there and also get some lodging. So just wanted to give that as a heads up.
I love Madeline Island. It's a very sacred place for Anishinaabe, and it's a great place. And I'll be in New York then, so I won't be able to make it up there, but Ogama, maybe you can do a live broadcast up there. Ho-wa. Okay, maybe not. Hey, up next, State Representative, and I always want to say State Senator because I think I want her to be Senator. State Representative Heather Keeler up next. We got a few fun things to talk about coming up, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Hey, I am so happy to have State Representative Heather Keeler on. Always great to have you on, and we're revving up here to a new session, and you'll be in the Twin Cities again. And also congratulations on your victory. I don't know if we've talked since you won, because I have a good memory, but it's short.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not sure that we have either. I feel like getting through the election and coming out in a trifecta, I feel like I did one of two things. I was either spending my time resting and kind of rejuvenating with the winter solstice and really taking that into space of, I know that I need to rest and have a strong foundation to go in, but then also traveling to conferences, in the last month to really engage in spaces, particularly around ICWA and the work that we need to do that I'm really hoping to address at a state level. So yeah, I'm sure I've not been here. So thanks for having me back. Yeah. I'm super excited. It's crazy to think we get sworn in next week already.
I know, that is crazy, and congratulations too. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all the people that support you up there. And it was great to have you win again, and be here and support our people. Like, I don't know, I think I must be prejudiced, Heather, but I really think you're one of the big doers at the house. So I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, and also to kind of mimic what you said, I appreciate my supporters from all over. It's crazy how, yes, I represent District 4A, which is Moorhead. Interesting enough, now I'm the only Democrat west of St. Cloud in the entire west side of Minnesota. And so, you know, we also have a lot of sovereign nations out here. And so, you know, I really come to work with a lens of not only being a voice for my district, but also very much being unapologetically Indigenous in every space that I sit in. So being able to uplift our tribal nations and their voices as well, you know, it feels like a really big task, but I learned a lot in my first session. And I feel really ready and prepared to come in and do, you know, hopefully some big things this time around. So I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the supporters, you know, the financial donors that I've had. I really wouldn't be able to get across the finish line. And I appreciate you always sharing the message of hope and love, and, you know, through my campaign as well.
Wow, I really appreciate that, too. You're an easy person to support. You don't have to really think about, oh, you know, should we support Heather? No, you're a doer. And, you know, it amazes me the more and more I get involved in politics, whether it's having this radio show. And I've always been involved, but also being my job, my full-time job, is that not everybody is a doer. So again, thank you so much. There's a lot of people that are holding space and chairs, and that's about it. So it's great. And I do mean that at the bottom of my heart, that you are a doer. And so, yeah, oh, not everyone is.
Thanks. Well, hopefully we keep on doing. That's what we're here to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there's some exciting stuff coming up here. I'm going to be totally excited because I have the day off, and I'm going to be coming up to the Capitol.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Right.
So, yeah, we get sworn in, all of us do on Tuesday, to start the session. And, you know, I've always kind of said, like, we as Indigenous people maybe aren't necessarily seen in the Capitol. You know, that's the people's house, as welcomed as we maybe should be. And so it's really exciting because part of our swearing in ceremony on the House side, with myself, Representative Jamie Beckerfin, and Representative-elect Alicia Kozlowski, we're doing a round dance. We're doing a pop-up round dance in the rotunda with our drums. You know, this isn't like an agenda event. This isn't about us as politicians. It's really about starting off the session in a good way and having our allies there with us, bringing our tribal leaders, you know, actually into this space with us. I think it's interesting that as the state of Minnesota, we have, you know, we enacted tribal consultations as part of this work. You know, as we move policies and bills into law, we are supposed to be having engaging conversations with our tribal nations. And I just feel like one of the best ways to do that in the House where I serve is to invite our community into our space and really start it off in a way that I'm familiar with, and doing it in a way that, you know, helps our community hopefully really be seen, valued, and heard in our space of decision making.
So should I bring a hand drum or should I just bring my moccasins?
I mean, bring it all, right? You can bring your hand drum.
Oh, good one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Maybe we can get Ogama to come down from the deep north with her newborn, and who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know about newborn. She'd probably be putting her feet down to dance a little bit here. She's almost walking now. She'll be a year in March. So.
Oh, my God.
I love that. And I do hope that people bring, you know, their kids, you know, really. I mentioned it here and I've said it a couple other times. I think, you know, ICWA is my number one priority in this session. I was licensed ICWA for many years and loved a lot of babies in my home, and know that we are in a time that our states really need to step up to protect our next generations. And so I hope our kids come. I hope that our kids come into the space and they see us as leaders coming together, uplifting, you know, voice and change for them and their future generations. And so, yeah, if you have little ones, make sure that you bring them, because I believe in representation. And I think it's really important that our next generation, not only sees us, but knows us and celebrates in spaces with us, alongside us.
Wow. What a great point. Seriously. I remember going there on tour as a young person during school. So maybe we should reach out to some schools out there like American Indian Magnet and those schools and have them come down too. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and not only on the first day, but just throughout the entire session, there's a whole lot of, you know, bills and conversations that we have both on the Senate and House side and committees and what that process looks like. And we're on the House floor and you can sit up in the gallery. You know, I never stepped foot in the Capitol before I got elected. And I think I'm not alone in that. You know, this isn't a place that's necessarily welcoming for us. You know, we don't see a whole bunch of our tribal schools showing up in buses to spend a day as like the life of a legislator. And again, it's that subliminal messaging that if we don't spend time in those spaces and recognize those spaces, you know, we're not going to be in those spaces. And we absolutely have to be at the table of decision making. And so you're right. I think it starts with, you know, bringing your classes. Wednesday mornings, I don't have any committees, and I'll put it out there. If there's any Indian education programs in this region that want to come and spend time and see what we do, I would absolutely make time for that. You know, my heart is in education. I was a liaison for a long time. And I think opening that door and being welcoming is how we make change in the future.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent point. And again, the round dance, anyone can come because we have a ton of white people listening to the show that really like to support us. So anyone can come, but let's get the natives out there and get your ribbon skirts on, and I'll bring my hand drum, and maybe I'll bring that Vikings color ribbon shirt of mine, seeing that they're doing so well and I'm such a homer.
I love that shirt. Yes, you should. and also, you know, I want to continue to spread the message that as we go into this work, that though we're in a trifecta, and I know a lot of people come to the table and, you know, Minnesota's going to move in all these progressive ways. You know, I just want to caution us that we continue to pause and make sure that we're not missing our tribal nations. You know, I think often we move forward really quickly, and quick bills can be great, but I think being, you know, really efficient and effective and making sure that our tribal nations and our tribal communities aren't being missed in this momentum is really something that I hope to do. We have our Native American Legislative Caucus that we come together regularly, not only to move our bills forward that we're working on, but also to play defense and make sure we're not, you know, slipping anything through that could actually create more harm for our communities. So we're a team. As we're back in session, I hope to be back and give you all updates, because I do think it's important at this network and this space to be able to share out, you know, how do we make these ideas into law? How do we implement them? And how do we need you as community members to join us in testifying and uplifting why those changes are so important?
You know, I'm pretty excited, too. We have another young one like yourself up in Duluth coming down here and working hardcore with you. And I'm excited to see the work that she's going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's really interesting to have more people at the table. Like even adding just one more Indigenous legislator helps us, you know, sit at more tables across the board. I know that Representative-elect Kozlowski, you know, is really powerful in housing, and that's an area that I'm passionate about, but can't sit at that table. So, you know, it's always nice to have those different spaces. We got our committee assignments, and so I am appointed as the vice chair of Children and Family Services. And then I also am sitting on Human Services because we dissolved the Preventing Homelessness Division that we had last session that I was the vice chair of. So I hope to continue to be a voice to make sure, you know, I really believe that nobody should be homeless, but we should definitely not be homeless on our homelands. So working in that capacity, but then also serving, you know, our littles and our next generation.
Well, we have less than a minute, Heather, and I want to just make this statement. I hope with that $17 billion that we can help our homeless, too, and in a good way, not just throw money at it, but be really, like you said, really thoughtful about it.
Well, homelessness is only an outcome of systematic, you know, oppression. And so we can put houses everywhere. If we don't actually dissect and fix the system and the people who are making the decisions in the system, we're going to have a long haul. So this is your thought process in the future. Get involved. I encourage everybody all the time. You know, there's always opportunities to step up, whether it's in your local PTACs, whether it's your Indian Education Parent Committees, thinking about running for office. You know, really, we need to be advocates in those spaces. And I used to tell my kids all the time, there's going to be a moment in your life when you have to step up and step out, and it is going to take a whole lot of courage.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. More rain is on the way to parts of California after devastating floods that left two people dead. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is in Sacramento County, where two levees failed.
This is a rural community, but those crops, what impact that could have on them. You have a lot of orchards here that are currently flooded under feet of water. That's going to be something that is going to have to be assessed.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy wants to become Majority Leader when Republicans take control of the House tomorrow, but it's not a done deal, as CBS's Scott McFarlane reports.
But even after a late Sunday phone call with colleagues and concessions to conservatives, it doesn't appear McCarthy has the votes yet, potentially setting the stage tomorrow for drama on the House floor.
A public viewing is underway for Pope Emeritus Benedict.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know, seeing the Pope now late in the St. Peter's Basilica.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natner with your headlines. A pay raise on the way for staffers at Wisconsin State Assembly. WisPolitics.com reporting the biggest pay hikes are for jobs at the top, including Speaker Robin Voss's chief of staff, which will now come with a salary range of $102,000 to $156,000. Also seeing a pay increase, messengers who have the lowest paying positions, they'll now earn between $30,000 and $46,000 annually. Lawmakers also seeing a slight pay increase to over $57,000. That happens this month. It is once again costing you more to fill up your gas tank. GasBuddy.com reporting average gas prices in Wisconsin rose 20.6 cents per gallon last week, today averaging 301. Last week's extremely cold weather led to many refinery problems, shutting down over a million barrels of refining capacity and pushing up wholesale prices. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
The conservative dating app, The Right Stuff, is failing 3 months after launch. In October, the app, The Right Stuff, had just 11,000 downloads.
The profile creation process also asked users to list their thoughts about the January 6th Capitol riots. Two reviewers claimed that FBI and police officers visited their homes after filling out their profiles.
The political party that is The Devil's Advocates radio show, live weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Host of Drink in the Style and owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design. People often ask me, why Habitation for my home? Well, I could give you hundreds of reasons. I could talk about the extensive collection of furnishing suppliers or our exceptionally talented design team. I could talk about service, but the truth is, Habitation clients come back room after room and home after home, and that speaks volumes. Habitation, put some drama into your interiors.
We at AM 950 wanted to offer more thank you gifts for the great listeners who have become members. Brand new for 2023, AM 950 has the new National Parks poster featuring photos I took at the National Parks. Members who sign up for a one-time $99.50 membership or recurring $25 per month membership will receive the brand new AM 950 National Parks poster and the AM 950 2023 calendar as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com, click on the tab, and become a member now. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, just a reminder, everybody, open enrollment for MNsure is closing at the end of the year. You want to make sure to get over to MNsure.org to get help and to find health insurance that you can afford. Again, that's MNsure.org.
Hey, I also, Ogama, want to get a quick reminder that Native Roots Trading Post downtown Minneapolis is now in its new hours, the last 2 weeks that it's open, Tuesday through Saturday. Come on down 10 to 6 and pick out some Native art. And speaking of which, Native art, we have Robert Lilligren here, who's, I think, a piece of work or a piece of artwork here, huh? Or one of the both. Oh, yeah. Haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. It's great to... Great to see you again. You're all rested after your vacation up north. Awesome to see you, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour. Hey, Ogama. Hey, Robert. Nice to see you both. Looking good. And yeah, it's been kind of nice having a few weeks off. And I got to tell you, as I age, I'm getting much better at sort of taking that time you need to rejuvenate and to relax. And at our organization, NACD, you know, our busiest time is from about June to November. So we're all, I close the office down for the end of the year so everyone can get a little breather. So I'm feeling good.
You know, that's funny. It's really stuck with me. And I think it was like our last show that we were on and we were talking about mental health and how you take care of your workers. That's really, really stuck with me. What you said.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, and this was really taught to me from, a local elder, Linda Eagle Speaker, and from her tradition. But at the beginning of COVID, she was coaching a lot of leaders or Native organizational leadership in just sort of how to get through this. And it was really intense and rewarding experience. And what she taught me and really taught me was that the Indigenous approach is to take care of yourself first, your family second, and your community or your organization third. And I got to tell you, I really pushed against that. I'm like, oh, we're Indigenous. We care for the whole. And she says, just kept repeating it calmly in her way. You know, take care of yourself first, your family second, your community third. And her argument was, how can you take care of the community if you're not taking care of yourself and your family? And so I finally believed her and really embraced that. And at NACTI, we've embraced it. And I got to tell you, it's amazing to see how it has amplified our energy, our capacity exponentially. And that's kind of the secret joke is, you know, that now we're getting more out of all the incredibly talented Native professionals that work at NACTI because they're taking care of themselves first, their families second, and then the organization third. It's like almost a miraculous or mystical kind of response.
That's amazing, and it almost gives you a pause to think about the 4-day week that people have across the world that we don't, because we're all crazy about the money and the dollar.
Right. And at NACTI, I always say, manage your schedule. As long as the work gets done, I don't care if you work one day a week, you know. But manage your schedule. But I don't think folks have quite embraced that yet. So maybe we'll have to get a little more formal about a 4-day week. But when we work, you know how we work at NACTI. I mean, yeah. Our folks work hard,
yeah,
and they work a lot. And so, yeah, this approach has been really something. I'll tell you that, this shifting to this Indigenous approach of taking care of yourself first. Go for it.
I like coming in and going, oh, you guys switch seats. You know, right. It's like people move around every week. That's cool.
Right. So folks, our office is tiny, right? We don't even actually have enough desks for everyone that works. We only have 10 people. that work there full time. But and so that was another benefit of COVID. I'll tell you, folks learned how to work remotely. They learned how to go to where they were are most productive to work, which isn't always in the office. And so we do what I think some folks call hotel desking, where it's a sort of open desks and people, if they're in the office, they grab a desk and work there. So, yeah. So it's very fluid.
Ogama was laughing there. Is hotel office a funny one for you, Ogama?
Hotel office is a funny one for me because I do work from home. So I hotel office my house. Sometimes I'm at the kitchen table and sometimes I'm in my office here and sometimes I'm on the couch. And, you know, sometimes I'm working like from one of the bedrooms because that's the quietest place to be. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that. And if any of you have been listening to Native Roots Radio for a while, I used to have a closet office that I worked in broadcasted out of before we moved last year. So and this office that I'm in now in our new place is also quite small, and I might call it a office. It's not large enough to count as a bedroom. So I'm pretty familiar with that. I've just never heard it called hotel desking.
And that's just a term I picked up somewhere, but I love that. I love office too. I think I'll pick that up over now and use that. But it was hard for folks because a lot of people feel like, you know, to be at work means being at your desk, at your computer, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever. And so it was something to learn that, you know, to go to where you are most productive. And as you know, Robert, because you've been in our offices a lot, they're very open, very public. Our organization is very permeable to the community. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of disruptions throughout the day, which I love. Because mm-hmm. that's us engaging with community in another way. And but for folks who are trying to get some writing done or something, it's kind of disruptive. And so now we know if you want to need some peace and quiet, go to your office at home, you know,
Well, you know, it's funny when COVID hit, I don't know if you remember the timeline. I was teaching high school, and when COVID hit, we were on strike. St. Paul Public Schools was on strike. The governor said, come back so you don't, we're closing the schools, come back or so you have your health care. We came back, and then I had to, Robert and Ogama knows this really well, I had to walk, go for a walk every morning before I got behind my computer and taught. So all these things, and I still do now, get out and walk an hour every morning before I get going with things, unless I'm in Black River Falls or something. But wow, change.
Yeah, change, huh? Yeah. Good for you walking every morning, Robert. I'm really impressed. My husband, Steve, walks 20,000 steps a day. He does a morning walk. I know, a lunchtime walk.
And I don't even know if I do that when I'm in New York. And you know how you walk around in New York City. Seriously.
Yep. So that's what your iPhone's for. You got to check and see how many steps you've taken today.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, definitely. Well, I got 12,000 in today. But
nice.
But 20, I'm still in shock.
Yep. That's his goal. And he makes it pretty much every day.
Yeah, and Ogama, you know, she switches not only offices, she switches offices once in a while, too. Her and her husband, significant other, flip a coin and they switch offices, and it always looks a little different, too. But I forgot all about the closet she was in for darn near a year. That's right.
Yeah, you could just see the door and the little posters I had on it behind me, and occasionally the kids would get out of hand, and I'd have to knock on the door behind me to tell them to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like that.
I'm kind of the same way, Ogama. I don't have dedicated workspace. I'm working on a little portable computer table that has just got me through the last few years, and I move around a lot. We only have 2 bedrooms, and the other one is a dedicated office for my husband, so I float everywhere. I'm in my bedroom right now because it's where I have the best sound and stuff, but I'll work in the living room. I work at the kitchen counter a lot, so I was, yeah. I'm always kind of sensitive to what I call my tableau, you know, what's going on behind me here. So when I sit on the kitchen island, it's all my Christmas tree and lights and stuff. I look like I'm in Santa's, you know, workshop or something.
Well, Jolene gave me one of those really cool posters, and of course, Christmas came along, and my oldest daughter wanted it, so I had to give it to her. And now I wonder if you guys have any of those stashed down there, the Billy Jack.
We just made one of the vote, the Native vote posters.
It's the young reservation dog.
Sure. Yeah, I'm guessing we do a few stuff then. We probably have a few. Jolene, I love that one. I have that sticker on my computer on the back of my laptop here.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. So we only got a couple minutes this segment. It's kind of fun just catching up, on the air. And we always, it's fun because people talk about our show, and you're a huge part of it, Robert, along, of course, with Ogama, is that it's kind of a discussion. It's kind of a laid back, kind of how's it going, and talking about things. And maybe the last segment of the day we can talk about some news, about some political news that's going on around. Okay. We had State Representative Heather Keeler on earlier, and the round dance is going to be happening up at the Capitol, and I'm excited.
I can't wait. I'll be there too. That is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, and Ogama won't be there, but it's it's a hard one, but we'll get a T-shirt or something for her and send it up to the deep north. But hey, let's take a quick break here. We're with Robert Lilligren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're just like conversing, and we'll talk a little politics here at local and national when we come back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
We at AM 950 wanted to offer more thank you gifts for the great listeners who have become members. Brand new for 2023, AM 950 has the new National Parks poster featuring photos I took at the National Parks. Members who sign up for a one-time $99.50 membership or recurring $25 per month membership will receive the brand new AM 950 National Parks poster and the AM 950 2023 calendar as a thank you. Go to am950radio.com, click on the tab, and become a member now. Thank you so much for supporting AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
We're making Robert to howl again. I saw you howl with Wendy the first time. Appreciate that. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Just like what's going on here? We're going to have a trifecta here in Minnesota, and we're excited about that. We have $17 billion. Excited about that.
$17.6 billion.
Oh, geez.
Yep. Don't forget that .6 bill.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know we're excited for that. Now, you know, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on almost every Friday, and it was hard for us, you know, and she's so positive and professional, but reading between the lines of with the Senate being Republican and the House being Democrat, and of course, a Democratic governor, it was hard to get things done.
Oh, yeah. And it's not going to be easy street, even with the trifecta, but it's a lot more, I'm a lot more optimistic. And, you know, the state budget surplus continues to go up. And in early December, they announced it's going to be $17.6 billion. I think when they first started talking, it was more in the single digits of the billions. And first, I want to put out there, having been in government myself, I feel like budget surplus is a misnomer. And there's always more need than the resources that we have. So I don't really view it as a surplus, but it does give us some hope that some of our priorities will be funded. And in the Native community, you know, in the urban community here, we have this effort called the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, UILI or ULE. And Dr. Joe Hobart of the American Indian OIC has been a huge leader in this. And it's to get our organizations capitalized. You know, we have aging facilities and facilities that are falling apart and inadequate to serve our community. And so we're looking at this surplus as an opportunity to really come in. There's 15 Native orgs that are part of the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. I think we're promoting 12 or 13 projects. And with a $17.6 billion surplus, we feel like it's time to fully fund all of those projects. So we'll be meeting with the governor early in the session to try to move that forward and get the governor and lieutenant governor on board advocating for that full funding of these capital projects.
That's exciting. And I, you know, that's so unique across Turtle Island, I think. And we have representation, which is really exciting. And, you know, your good friend, the lieutenant governor, is almost, you know, I couldn't tell you years ago who the lieutenant governor was. You know what I mean? Right. It was like and then we had one that wasn't a Democrat, it was a Republican, you know, just a mess. But this one, Peggy is almost like a vice governor, you know.
Really good way to put that, Robert. And I'd say, you know, during our former governor, Governor Mark Dayton, and his lieutenant governor was Tina Smith, who's now our senator. And that really elevated that role of lieutenant governor into more of a, not quite, but sort of a co-governing model. But I will say Governor Waltz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan have lifted that up much higher. And I remember back when, you know, they complement each other very well. They represent sort of this political spectrum on the Democratic side, or here it's called the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, the DFL. They complement each other. They really bring two bases together really well. But I remember when they first announced their campaign, they did it at the Minneapolis American Indian Center.
I was there too.
Yeah, cool. And that was their campaign kickoff. And I'd made a mental note to myself that I wanted to hear the words co-governing out of their mouths during that kickoff event. And I thought to myself, okay, if I don't hear that, I'm going to reach out to Peggy Flanagan and say that needs to come front and center in your approach and in your messaging. But sure enough, when they were talking to the crowd, they're the very enthusiastic crowd. They used the word co-governing several times. And I thought, okay, that satisfies me. And I feel like they've really taken that approach and that they've been able to amplify their impact because of it.
Yeah, it's fun too, because Peggy trained Walls way back in the day with
Wellstone Action.
Thank you. I couldn't think of it. Yeah. Isn't that? And then that was brought up that day too. And she brought it up a lot during the first campaign.
Yeah, that she trained a lot of folks that are in elected office or that have been. She was a trainer for Wellstone Action, of course, an institute that honored our late Senator Paul Wellstone here. And Peggy was very active there. But when I served on the Minneapolis City Council, I think the second term I was there, three of the members emerged from that same class, or at least two of them, that Tim Walz was part of, that Peggy trained them all. You know, and then they went on to successfully win elections. Of course, Governor Walz was a congressman from Minnesota CD1 first, and that was his first run for office.
Well, I see them around, and we, you know, and the governor knows me because I come around a lot, and you can't really fake that relationship they have. It's a legitimate relationship, and I just want to say that. Robert, I want to back up a second, too, because for me, it's always good to have some ammunition when people say, oh, you know, you should give the money back, you know, when it comes to the $17 billion. I heard something really interesting that I want to ask you about and have you comment about. With that money, that's not just taxpayers. That's businesses that are having banner years that are in, correct?
Yep, it's higher than expected collections and lower than expected expenditures. So you're exactly right. It comes from a number of sources. I suspect that there will be some kind of refund that goes out to most households or families. I suspect that will be part of crafting some kind of agreement, you know, across the aisle. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. But you're exactly right. There's different sources.
Well, it's funny, too. We've done really well besides having, you know, dealing with COVID, which the lockdown is not that long ago.
Right, right. And so things, you know, things are changing. We're coming back to life. So it's going to be an interesting year. It's been, what, I'm trying to remember, 15, 16 years since we've had the trifecta, since the governor and both houses in Minnesota have been under one Democratic control. So wow. Something's going to happen. And within the caucuses, the majority and minority caucuses in both our Senate and House, three of the four caucuses are led by women. The first time in our history.
Wow.
So, you know, progress, right? It's progress.
That's good, you know, and we know as natives that the women do lead the way and we need to support them. And so that's good to see.
Yep, it's very good. I'm very excited to see what happens.
Well, we're winding down the show here. Nationally, I don't know. The Republicans are fighting, and that's good to see.
Yeah, they have a real leadership battle on their hands. Yeah. I was just reading a couple of commentaries today that if McCarthy even gets to 200, what is it, 208? Is that what he needs to?
Yeah.
208 to get that, he will very unlikely end the session as the speaker. He may start it as the speaker. And then there's the whole George Santos scandal out of New York's 3rd Congressional District, which is fascinating. As they get into his finances, there might be something criminal that would keep him from getting into office. But I will point this out with the Republican Party. You know, they're very tolerant of crooks and operators. And then Trump just opened that wide open. So it's almost become like a refuge for petty criminals and petty crooks and people working in their own self-interest to go there. It kind of washes you clean, right? It gives you some legitimacy, but they welcome those folks in with open arms. And I do not think that bodes well for our democracy.
Well, he made $55,000 a year ago, and then all of a sudden he had $11 million in assets after 1 year.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
How do you do that?
I would like to know. I'd like to know.
Right. Wow. Well, Robert, really great to have you on again. And we've missed you. And
I missed you.
Yeah. And this is always a high point of my week. And having State Senator, I always want.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8, all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.